genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura or Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it how we live and work right here in Ventura. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I do have a shout-out. Shout-out to Dave Levy, computer tech, over at the Reed's Appliances. Met him over there. He's a loyal listener to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain and to KKZZ in general. So thank you, Dave, for being a loyal listener, and thank you for listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. As I said, every show has a theme, and today's theme is all business, all the time. Each of my guests will be talking about an aspect of business that is important to each of us. My first guest has made a study of body language and how it impacts leadership. The body language of leaders is more than just the appearance, posture, and gesture and facial expression. She'll explain how body language can help or hurt you as a leader from her book, The Silent Language of Leaders. My second guest is the CEO of Boomerang.com, one of this country's leaders in internet marketing through email. We'll discuss the optimum use of email marketing in the internet age. My third guest has studied the business practices of rock and roll's most innovative and creative group, the Beatles. He'll share the business wisdom of the Beatles from his book, Come Together. And as always, if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Carol Kinsey Goman is a PhD. She's also the president of Kinsey Consulting Services. She is a keynote speaker, seminar leader for corporations, associations, and government agencies. Body language has always played a key role in Carol's professional life. Prior to founding Kinsey Consulting, she was a therapist in private practice, reading the nonverbal cues to help her clients make rapid and profound behavioral changes. Carol's been featured on all the normal media. She's been on NPR. She's been on CNN. She's been in Investor Business Daily, Executive Excellence magazines, and the list goes on and on and on. Carol has served as an adjunct faculty member at John F. Kennedy University in the International MBA program and also at UC Berkeley in the Executive Education Department. And she's worked for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce at their Institute for Organizational Management. She is currently a faculty member with the Institute of Management Studies. Carol has authored 11 books. Her latest book, as I said, is titled The Silent Language of Leaders, How Body Language Can Help or Hurt You as You Lead. Welcome to the show, Carol. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for being our guest, and thank you for all the work that you've done on body language, because I think it's an interesting subject. Some of my listeners may have had a hard time about body language in general with different results. Can you give us an example of how scientific research is validating the impact of body language?
Yeah, there's one study that I really, really enjoyed when I read it. It was they're using EEG machines, electroencephalographs, in order to chart the brainwave activity. And they're looking for what they call event-related potentials. And those are brainwaves that form peaks and valleys. So as they're hooking you up and watching your brain, one of the valleys that your brain drops into is called N400. And it drops into this N400 valley when you hear nonsense. So if somebody says gobbledygook, speckled cow, my mother, and don't forget to write 7-Eleven, and just starts nonsense, your brain drops into that trying to make sense of it. Well, they also found out that's exactly the place that your brain drops when you see someone saying, welcome, and they are pulling back with their arms crossed. So if your words and your body language are at cross purposes, you actually don't make sense. You force your audience, whether it's one person or, you know, an auditorium of 10,000, you force that audience to drop into this brainwave N400 valley that says, I don't know what just happened.
Wow, that's an interesting finding that you found. We're talking to Carol Goman. Carol, in your book, you talk about something that I like. It's called the leader's personal curb appeal, or the first impression that you have. So you referred to it in your last example. Give us some mistakes, common mistakes that we all make when we try to read body language.
Well, first of all, you have to remember how fast this happens. Research, and particularly for business, those first impressions are crucial. Once somebody thinks that you're likable or unlikable or powerful or submissive, everything else you do is going to be viewed through that filter. So you have 7 seconds or less to make that first impression.
Wow,
and other people have the same amount of time to make that first impression for you. So all of this is being done very rapidly and very subconsciously. And because of that, there are obvious mistakes. First of all, we all have our own filters. I know that there was a woman in my yoga class. The moment I met her, she just loved me. And I would prefer to think it was my charismatic, you know, behavior, but I know for a fact it's because I look just like one of her favorite aunts. So if you look like somebody, you will, it's called the halo effect. I will imbue you with all sorts of characteristics that you don't even deserve because you look like that person that I really like. Which is great if I really like that person, but if you remind me of someone I dislike or intensely dislike, it's going to take a long time for you to overcome that initial reaction that I have. And one of the big things is I don't know your baseline behavior when I first meet you. So I don't know that frown I see is something that really is your dad did that. You've always done that when you're thinking or you're meeting someone. But what it looks like to me is that I've just done something or said something that displeased you. And my brain, all of our brains, we have a default factor that looks for the negative, unfortunately. And I think it's because that was our signal to defend ourselves or to hide or to
danger.
You know, to react in our earlier days as human beings. But that's what happens to the brain. If there's two ways to read a signal, I will think, uh-oh, I've done something wrong, or he doesn't like me, or something happened, something bad happened.
So we tend towards the negative. We make our first impressions in the first 7 seconds. Interesting stuff. We're talking to Carol Goman, the author of the book, The Silent Language of Leaders, How Body Language Can Help or Hurt You Lead. And I guess if impressions are formed in the first 7 seconds, then leaders or really anybody needs to manage those first 7 seconds, Carol. So what are some of the nonverbal signals that are most important for leaders to display, particularly in those first 7 seconds?
Well, a lot of it depends on the kind of impression you want to make. So I'm just going to give you a general positive impression,
okay.
But it might be slightly different if you were walking into the boardroom to make a presentation than if you were walking into a team meeting where you wanted to build collaboration.
Okay.
So I'll give you kind of a generic. One of the best things you can do is to smile. I mean, a smile lights up the reward center of the recipient's brain. I mean, we can prove that with technology now. So if I smile at you when I first meet you, two things happen. One is that your brain lights up. The second thing is your mouth almost always mimics because of something called mirror neurons in your brain. Your mouth almost always mimics my smile. And by doing that, you actually begin to change your own brain chemistry so that there's a double feel-good factor.
Hmm.
The second thing you can do, of course, is to shake hands. Touch is the most powerful and the most primitive nonverbal signal. And we don't have a society where there's a lot of touching allowed, unlike, say, South America or Southern Europe, where there's quite a bit of touching in business. In the U.S., though, and Canada and, you know, some of the other countries, shaking hands is totally permissible. So you want to get a great handshake. You want to have as much skin-to-skin contact, palm-to-palm as you can, and web to web, that web between your thumb and your first finger. You want to have a nice, firm, but not bone-crushing grip. And particularly if you are a female in business, you will be judged even more than your male counterpart on the quality of your handshake.
No, we'll come back to that. I wanted to talk about the differences between males and females. So you've got smile, shake hands. What are some other positive things that you can have? I mean, shoulders back, head high, those kinds of things.
Well, absolutely. You know, don't you hate it when your mom was right? But of course she was. If you keep your head high and your shoulders back and you walk in with a sense of purpose, you look impressive. If you, like I say, smile, if you make eye contact, and the kind of eye contact I'm talking about is long enough so that you actually notice the color of the other person's eyes. That'll force you to look slightly longer than you might normally. You don't want to, you know, overdo it, or you don't have to comment on their beautiful blue eyes, but look long enough to really know what color they are, and you will create a very strong connection. We have a real, you know, that's one of our first signals as we're born and we search the room and we're looking for a pair of eyes to lock onto as infants. It's a powerful signal.
Well, it is. We're talking to Carol Goman, author of the book, The Silent Language of Leaders. Carol, all of this is very interesting in that first face-to-face meeting, but in the digital age when so much of our communication relies on technology, isn't some of this leadership and some of the charisma factors that you're talking about, don't we lose that by communicating with email and even by video conferencing?
Yeah, we absolutely do. The more cues you take away, the more I have to figure out what you mean. So emails, for instance, are the most likely for both of us to make mistakes. You may send something and you didn't mean to actually say it that way, but that's how, in a hurry, that's how you got it out. And when I read it, I put an entirely different meaning to it. Mm. Then you add another thing. You add voice, like a teleconference or a radio interview, and that gives you some more cues. You add video, and that gives you some more cues, but you will never get all of the cues that you will in face-to-face. Now, two things are happening that are making face-to-face and body language even more important. Number one is there is this entire visual technology revolution from YouTube to Cisco's telepresence. And I'm speaking at Stanford this week, and in their brand new business center, they have these new telepresence systems where you see body language from, you know, full-size replications of people in real time. You can make real eye contact. There's directional sound. It's an entirely different experience. The second thing is when you have a virtual team that is going to communicate mostly on email, we know from every study on the planet that you need to get that team together for one face-to-face meeting. If you do that, you will be able to work remotely so much better.
And that's good advice from Carol Goman, author of the book, The Silent Language of Leaders. Carol, you alluded to this earlier, and I wanted to postpone the conversation and get into it a little more depth than you were going into that. And that's, what is the difference between male and female when you're talking about body language? So what special body language advantages and obstacles do female leaders face in the world of business today, and what advice do you have for them?
Sure. There are two sets of signals that people look for in leaders. One set has to do with status, authority, and power, and one set has to do with empathy, likability, friendliness. Now, you can imagine, simply because men are taller, that they already have an advantage in the status and power, because status and power are displayed through height and space. But what happens with women is not only are they smaller, but we tend to condense our bodies. So if I go into a boardroom meeting, what I see is the high-status males spreading out. They're spreading out their stuff on the table. They're perhaps leaning back. They've got their arms spread out, or they're on somebody else's back of somebody else's chair. They're taking up a lot of room. The women come in. They put their papers in a neat little pile. They pull their elbows into their bodies, and they condense. So females need to realize that you need to expand. You need to stand up straighter. You need to put your legs out a little farther instead of keeping your feet close together when you stand. You need to look more powerful and grounded. You need to use slightly larger gestures. But when it comes to friendliness and empathy, females have the edge.
Sure.
And when we're moving into a collaborative work environment where it isn't power and status and authority, you don't want a leader that comes in and says, yes, I want all of your ideas, but by the way, I'm not going to use any of them because I'm the powerful person. And they don't have to say that in words. They can say it in how they dress and how they hold their bodies. You want someone to come in and say and look like, we're all in this together. I really need your help. I think you're valuable. I think you're wonderful, and I'm interested. And those are a totally different set of signals. Now, the best leaders, of course, embody both, and they know when it's best to use one set and when it's best to use another. But females are going to fall into a lot of traps. They're going to over-smile because that empathy signal that we, and it's such a powerful signal, until you do it inappropriately. So if I'm telling you how badly someone has been treating me and I smile through that, particularly if you're a male, I have so confused you with that signal. You have no idea what really happened.
We are easily confused, aren't we, Carol?
You are.
That's true. That is true. We're talking to Carol Gohman, everybody, author of the book, The Silent Language of Leaders, How Body Language Can Help or Hurt You as You Lead. All right, so you don't want, women don't want to oversmile. What else do they need to be aware of in leadership roles?
We do a lot of head tilting, and in fact, Darwin saw that, and he said, when he was writing about it, he said, women tilt their heads like barnyard chickens. And head tilting is one of those signals when you want to encourage someone to speak. If you tilt your head slightly, I notice good interviewers on television that will do that in order to encourage the person that they're interviewing to continue to speak. However, it's also a very submissive signal. It's what dogs do when they want to show the alpha dog that they're not going to be a threat. They will tilt their head away from the dog and expose their neck. So subconsciously, when a female gets up and is saying something where she wants to be credible and powerful, but she does it with a head tilt, it's way too kind of cutesy and submissive, and it robs her of her credibility.
We've been talking to Carol Gohman, everybody, author of the book, The Silent Language of Leaders, How Body Language Can Help or Hurt You as You Lead. And Carol, if people are interested in what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
SilentLanguageOfLeaders.com.
SilentLanguageOfLeaders.com. And there you'll find everything about Carol and about her book. Carol, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great. I'd love it.
Thanks, Carol.